Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Amen. Fully alive. Fully alive. I want to live fully alive. How about you? I don't want to sleepwalk through life. I don't want to die. And wonder, did I fulfill my purpose? I don't want to be on my deathbed with regrets. I don't want what ifs. I don't want could have beens. I don't want to get on the other side of eternity and find out there was more. I want to live fully alive right now. Amen? Are you with me? Fully alive right now. I want to be fully alive. Now, the world will tell you what that means is fulfill every lust and fleshly desire that you have. I'm here to let you know that's not what he's talking about. That's not what we're talking about at all. What I'm talking about is there is life in Christ Jesus that is more alive than anything the earth has to offer you. I'm talking about fully alive. I'm talking about what I see doesn't dictate how I feel and what I can accomplish. I'm talking about what the world tells me is not all there is. I'm here to let you know there is life and life more abundant for you in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I am thoroughly convinced. I am thoroughly convinced that the best days for me are ahead. The best days for you are ahead. The best days for the United States are ahead. Amen? Amen. I don't care who's in the White House. Best days are ahead. Because I know who's on the throne. Amen. Right? You tie your allegiance to the natural government, things could get rocky for you. My allegiance is tied to the throne. Can I say that again? I mean, I just... We got some division in our country right now. There's some hurt people. There's hurting people in our country right now. There people are genuinely fearful, and there's people been fearful for a while. Different people are fearful now than were fearful a couple months ago. There are hurting people in our country on both sides of the aisle, and people are reacting out of fear. People are making bad choices out of fear. There's fearful people, and that's a problem. And unfortunately, all right, since nobody, you know, this is who we are, right? It's not like we have some sort of worldwide platform. I can be a little loose here on the microphone, right? we've got spiritual leaders who decided to become political leaders. And in doing so, have forfeited their authority. That's where I'm at. And there is an injection of fear in the church because of it. The very people who are supposed to hold fear at bay have used fear to get political power. It's demonic, it's soulish, and it's not God, right? We're here to preach righteousness. I don't care if Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Henry Menard are in the White House. I'm going to say you need to be righteous, right? I don't care what letter they put after the candidate or the president's name. I don't care what their party affiliation is. I don't care what they say their religion is. I don't care. I want righteousness in my government. Period. And I in my lifetime, I'm 45. I've not seen one yet. I've seen Democrats and Republicans in the White House. I haven't seen a righteous government yet. Right? To put your hope in that now is foolish. There is a righteous governor. His name is Jesus. Right? And I don't know if you know this. He rarely tells you everything you want to hear. You with me here? You feel me? But here's what I want to challenge you, Revival Life Church, with. This is where I have authority. I have authority right here. I don't have authority over there. I don't have authority over the White House. I don't have authority over the church down the street. My authority is right here. And here's my challenge to you. You better figure out how to forgive people who voted differently than you. You better repent of your judgment of those who hold different political affiliations. Because the only person you're affecting is you. Right? How I voted is irrelevant. It's got nothing to do with my job right here on this platform. My job right here on this platform is to tell you, get your heart right. Get your heart right. Quit judging people who vote differently than you. I mean, we gotta love some people in this country. And if this country ever needed the love of Jesus Christ, it's right now in the midst of these divisions. Right? We got protests in the street. We got people getting beat down because of their vote. That's the failure of the church. Don't blame it on anything else. That's our job to spread love in this country. That's the job of the Church of Jesus Christ. And we can say it's that party's fault. It's not. It's our fault. And if we're not willing to bear that responsibility, then we can't, we have no one to blame. I am not expecting whoever moves to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to bring peace to this country. I'm expecting Jesus Christ to do that through his church. That's our job, the job of the church. And if we're going to have a political spirit and we're going to let the spirit of offense live in our heart, how in the world are we expecting our country to be at peace? Come on, my job is to call men and women to righteousness. That's my job. My job is to call you. I mean, and I tell you what, you better start loving some people who got different political affiliations than you. Period. Period. Because you know what? In a couple of weeks, we're going to have communion. Right? We didn't used to have communion every month because we didn't want to be, let me just be honest, I don't want to be religious. And we just did it as we felt. And then some people are like, man, I'm used to doing it every month. We're like, well, I guess we'll do it every month. Why not? I'm glad. Because now once a month, you better work out your heart. Because you can skip an altar call, right? And you can sit back there acting like you're not getting convicted. But when everybody's getting communion but you, you stand out. You better work out your heart issues. Right? There needs to be some accountability on our heart issues. And the Bible tells me if you get up here and you have communion with people and you have offense toward them, you're going to get sickness on yourself. I'm not prophesying sickness. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, right? You got some problems. And if you can't love people who voted differently than you, guess what? You got sickness. You got soul sickness. That's a problem. If you have been kept up since the election or since the election of Barack Obama or since the nomination of whoever, if you've lost sleep over these things, you got soul sickness and quit blaming it on political parties. That's a problem in your heart. Don't put your hope in people. You ever had somebody win an election that you loved and you're like, they're doing a terrible job later? Quit putting your hope in people. Put your hope in Jesus. Don't let an election steal your joy. That is a stupid thing to lose your joy over. That's a dumb thing to lose your joy over. A couple hundred million people vote. You're one in that. You're going to lose your joy over something you have almost no power over. That's dumb. You might as well lose your joy over the speed of the wind or time of the sunrise. Oh, darn, there's more stars than I thought. I'm going to lose my joy. Like, you don't have any, just come on. Disconnect your heart from things you don't have power over, man. Get your heart right. Love some people. Let me say this. Figure out why they voted that way. You might find some truth in it. Seek understanding. Can we do that? Is that all right? I mean, we're called to revival. I mean, we're called to truth. And truth is, I don't know that Jesus cares about the political affiliation of the leader of the White House. I really don't. Right? I'm going to say one more thing and I'm going to move on because I want to hit this really hard. Have you ever studied the size of everything? You ever seen like those little videos that show like the earth? Right? And then they show the moon and then they show our little solar system. You know what I'm talking about? And then they show the millions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. You ever seen these things? Millions of stars like in this one little galaxy, and then they back up and they show like billions of galaxies that contain millions and billions of stars. You're like, how? I mean, it's like the numbers like squash your brain, right? Like you can't even fathom what that even means. And then you think like all God cares about is a one speck on one planet and who's the leader of one part of the government on one part of the way. He's got some other things going on right now. He's way bigger than this. And when you find your life is consumed by one problem and you think that that's got God in a conundrum, or your entire joy is based on this one little thing, it's time to just back up and just get your perspective right. Right? My call is to love the person in front of me. And if you met Hillary Clinton, would you be able to love her? If you met Donald Trump, would you be able to love him? If you met Bernie Sanders or you met the latest serial killer, would you be able to love them? That's your zone right there. If you met the you know, whatever, would you be able to love them? The person who believes in conversion therapy, would you be able to love them? The person who's fighting for transgender rights, would you be able to love them? Not what they stand for, not their pet. Would you be able to love them as a human? Because that is your call. And guess what? Sometimes you get to work out your inability to do that because people say things that are not something that makes you happy. All right? We call that marriage, right? I mean, that's... He's like, why don't we just go ahead and work that out now? And then export it, right? Right? Hallelujah. I want to live life to the fullest. I want to live fully alive. I don't want my joy to be dictated by what 100 million people do. Right? If you think I'm talking about your candidate and you're offended, good. That's what I'm talking about right there. Work it out. All right? You got to love me because I'm going to take communion with you in a couple weeks. It is what it is. Is that okay? I care about you guys, and I care about your heart, and I care about your witness in this community. Listen, if you feel called to politics, or you feel called, man, advocate your side. That's okay. If you felt like Donald Trump is, man, what he's talking is what this country needs, advocate that. Go for it. If you felt like what the Democratic Party is standing for in this day and age and what Hillary Clinton was championing or Bernie, man, do what you want to do. Go. Advocate your position. Don't say it's God, though. Don't put God's name on it. Right? Put your name on it. Be bold enough to put your name on it. This is the person I believe, you know, and be bold enough to point their flaws out at the same time so we know you're being honest and not partisan, right? Right? Because people got issues. And I can love you and recognize your issues. Right? I can like a candidate and recognize that, you know, they're off base. Are you with me? Do that. Don't put God's name on it, but do it. You have a voice in this country, and I'm thankful we have a voice. Try to create dialogue with people who believe differently than you. Right? Let's have some understanding. Let's let love come out of the church in this country. That's our role. That's our role here in the political process as the church. Individually, do whatever you want. Run a campaign, protest, do what you want to do. Don't assault anybody because that would not be good, right? That would be sin. Don't slander people. That's sin. You can forcefully advocate your position without sinning, right? And work on forgiving. You know, some people, and if you have a hard time forgiving, just remember some people are terribly ignorant, right? That's all you got to do. Like, I know why you voted that way. It's because you're terribly ignorant. You know, but I love you anyways. That helps me sometimes, all right? Let's get in the Bible, though. 1 Peter chapter 2. Right? Because anybody who votes differently than you is terribly ignorant, right? Do you vote? Do people even vote? Am I talking to people? It doesn't even matter. Can you take a lid off for me? You voted, right, honey? I voted as well. I tried to write in Corey this year, but there wasn't. They didn't let you write in a candidate for agriculture commissioner. I always vote for Corey, but I wasn't able to. I was sad about that. 1 Peter chapter 2, you guys there? No? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. How about Diane last week? Good word, huh? Did she rip it or what? Good stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you, Diane, for preaching. Appreciate it. I'm glad I can trust you with the pulpit. So thankful. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges. How does he judge? To him who judges righteously. We don't judge righteously. He does. All right? Let me just pause there for a second. We're not anointed to judge anybody. There's just no anointing. We're not allowed. We can't do it. That's why when it comes to other people, God says we have to forgive. That's our role, forgive. Not only do we have to forgive sins they do us, as any sin we forgive is forgiven. We're in the role of forgiving. He alone can carry the awesome authority to judge. And it taints humans when they walk in judgment. And so we can't judge people. Can't judge people's hearts. We can judge actions. We can set boundaries. We're not allowed to judge people. Okay, are we good? Let's start 23 again. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Woo. Verse 24. Whew, Holy Spirit, thank you. Verse 24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, you were healed. I want to read verse 24 one more time. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, you were healed. I'd like all of us to read that together. Ready? Read. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's really easy as the church to underestimate what that verse means. That verse changed everything. Everything that ever happened before that moment of Jesus on the cross. The cross changed all of history. And we live like it just initiated us into a new religion. It didn't. There was an active component to what Jesus did on the cross. And when you fully recognize that, you get to become fully alive. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to be fully alive. Here's how you don't be fully alive. You don't be fully alive thinking that you have to deal with some stuff that Jesus already dealt with. Then you live your life doing stuff that bears no fruit, except for making you feel good about yourself. I don't just want to feel good about myself. I want to accomplish something here on this planet. Amen. I want to accomplish something. I don't want to just feel like I did something good and pat myself on the back. Religion is really good at making you feel good about yourself and letting you pat yourself on the back. Here's what religion does. Religion sets up a bunch of rules that are just out of reach. The rules are never the easy stuff. They're the stuff that's just out of reach. And if you can every now and then attain one, you feel pretty good about yourself. There's religion. Now, if you are in a religion that is full of not as motivated people, you make the rules just a little bit unhappy, a little bit easier to attain, deny yourself some happiness, and you feel good about yourself that you did something for God. Isn't Jesus happy that I went ahead and didn't look at that movie? Jesus has got to be so happy right now that I went ahead and gave him an offering. I'm making Jesus happy. Aren't I a great person? I did something that made me miserable. Can't wait till I go to heaven. That's yeah, woohoo. There's religion for you right there. Oh, I want to be right with God. No problem. Here's some rules for you. Do these rules. These don't sound fun. Exactly. Religion. God will be happy. In order for God to be happy, you got to be unhappy. But what you got to do is call it happiness. Call your unhappiness happiness. No, this is joy, brother. No, brother, this is joy. I got the joy of the Lord, brother. Family left me. Nobody likes me. None of my coworkers want to have lunch with me because I got the joy of the Lord and I tell them about Jesus. No, thank you. No, thank you. That kind of joy I don't need. When I look at joy in the Bible, I think happiness. Personally, I think of actual factual happiness. And if it doesn't produce actual factual happiness, I don't want it. Can you hear what I'm saying? Let me give you an example. Okay, I'm not going to use that example. That's a little too colorful. Got children in the room. Hallelujah. Okay. There's things Jesus doesn't want you to do. And it's not for him, it's for you. And if you actually do them, for the reason God wants you to do them, it produces joy. Okay? Now, your little ungenerated brain says, I want to touch every person of the opposite sex within my reach. Right? That's what your unregenerated brain tells you all the time. From the time you're about 12, right? That's what your unregenerated, unsanctified brain tells you all the time. And then religion comes along and says, if you think that way, you're going to go to hell. Because God doesn't want you to be happy. That's fleshly happiness, and it's no good, right? Where God actually says, hey, guess what? I want you to be the full expression of who you are called to be. I want you to be able to fully live out of your identity and not be insecure. I want you to be in a life that is with people you fully trust, and I only want you to give your heart to people who deserve it. I only want you to expose yourself emotionally and physically to people who are going to protect that vulnerability. And in that sphere of relationship where your openness and vulnerability is protected, I want you to flourish. I want you to expose everything. I want you to fully enjoy everything I've given you physically, emotionally, and spiritually, knowing that even if things go bad, they're never going to leave you. That's what God is saying. But religion says, you're going to feel that, but that's the devil. You're going to think that feels good, but it doesn't feel good. That's the devil. And you're like, that's funny. Felt pretty good. Felt pretty good. I don't know. No, that's the devil. The devil sure has some good stuff. Am I on the right team? Right? You're like, am I on the right team? Let me rethink this. Is this counting the cost? Is this what he's talking about? I got to reassume a joy that isn't actually happy? Is that what he meant here? Is he changing what words mean? No, not at all. When you look at Jesus through the lens of religion, it's not a good time. When you look at Jesus through the lens of he wants me to live fully alive, and he may know better than me at what that's like, then all of a sudden, I get to live a joyful life. Let me tell you, if you're single in this room or life has been rough, let me tell you this. You know, I got saved. I've told my story many times. I got saved in my mid-20s, mid to late. I don't remember exactly when, but in my mid to late 20s. I never wrote the date down. I'm sorry. But I know I'm saved. I do know that. I know that I am saved. I don't remember the actual date. I had a little bit of a difficult time. Let me say it this way. I did not grow up righteous, right? I did not grow up righteous. I didn't grow up in church, didn't live holy. I wasn't religious, but I wasn't Christian. I was just a heathen, right? I was a really good heathen. And I had a hard time maintaining relationships, if you know what I'm talking about here. Now, let me say it this way. I had a hard time being faithful in relationships, right? And that sounds like fun when you're not saved, except the problem is when you have a hard time being faithful, the only people you get in relationships with are people who have a hard time being faithful. Because like spirits attract, right? I got saved, thank you, Jesus, right? And the Lord delivered me of that and put a value for faithfulness in my life, right? And so some people are running around thinking that's a good life. Let me tell you what a good life is. I've not once worried about my wife cheating on me. Ever. Ever. We celebrated, was it 17 years of being engaged yesterday, right? We got engaged 17 years ago yesterday. And I have, no, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to me. I have never once entertained the thought that my wife might be talking to somebody, flirting with somebody. It's never happened. Like, I've never, ever once worried about that. And let me tell you another part. I've never, ever once done anything to compromise my marriage. I've never flirted with a woman. I've never batted my eye just to see if I could get her look, just to get her glance. I'm not even talking about overtly flirting with someone. I'm not even talking about trying to make a relationship. That's way beyond what I'm trying to do in life, right? Like, I've set up hedges of protection that keep me pretty far from that. But I've not even, I've never once, and I got to tell you, this is a better life. This is a better life. Like, we have problems, right? Like, guess what? I'm really married to a human, right? Like, and so is my wife, right? But whether or not she's going to cheat on me is not one of them. just not one of them. And I got to tell you, in the last 17 years, I've been with one woman, and that feels way more fully alive. That is fully alive. You run around, you think that is not life. This, fully alive. You hear what I'm saying? And that's not God saying, I don't want you to be happy. This is me saying, man, I have been vulnerable and I don't have to worry about anybody telling my secrets after we have a fight. You hear what I'm saying? I am secure in what I have told my wife is not going to get out there. That is fully alive. And God has called you to live fully alive in healthy relationships. And starting with Him. Starting with Jesus. There's an old model of prophecy. I'm just talking today, right? I'm just talking. I hope you catch something by the Spirit. There's an old model of prophecy that basically, you know, the prophet would come to town and you'd repent of everything you could think of because you didn't want them to call you out, right? And because all spiritual mature people did was see your sin. Right? That was maturity. And you know, we have since learned that that's nothing but second heaven prophecy. That's soulish. That's soulish. That's not from God's perspective. Because you know why? God's not gossiping about you. He's not. He's not gossiping about you. Period. You can trust Him. But you're like, well, what happened about those pastors who do that? I'd say don't submit to them. Choose your leaders well. All right, you have free will. If you're in a church and people are beating you up spiritually, find a new church. There's a whole bunch of them. There's a bunch of good churches. I don't know if you've noticed. There's a bunch of good ones, right? I know a really good one in Boca. Meets at Boca Middle every Sunday. We're right here. That's not fully alive. If you've ever, man, I'm just talking. I hope this is, if you've ever had your pastor, like your phone ring and you start having a panic attack, there's a problem. There's a problem. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about because you're blessed and highly favored. Because you've chose the right church, right? But there's a heart issue here, right? There's a heart issue. I want to live fully in the light. And I don't want that nonsense. You know what I'm talking about here, Chris? I mean, you have any idea what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, honey? You been there? Not here. No? I have. No. I'm sorry. Listen. Put up verse 24 again, if you would, tech team. I want us to see this, and we're gonna encounter God here in a couple minutes. That's where we're going today. All right, we're just gonna encounter God. It says, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross." Now, who bore our sins? Are you bearing your sins? Do you have to atone for your sins? Do you have to make them right? Somebody dealt with them, didn't they? He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. Now why? So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. If you're living your life dealing with sin, you've missed the mark. I want to live my life alive to righteousness. What does that look like for you? It's possible that you have a hard time defeating sin in your life because you're focused on it too much. Now, if you don't care about your sin, well, then there's your answer right there, right? You just repent, give your life to Christ, start trusting Him, right? But if you actually care, right, if you actually care about living a sin-free life and fulfilling your purpose, part of the problem, I would gently put forward to you that it's possible that part of the problem is that you live your life staring at your problems, and what you focus on grows. And what you might want to do is think about yourself a little bit less and start doing the thing you're called to do. Live alive to righteousness. That is where the flow of Holy Spirit will come in your life, right? Okay, you say, okay, I feel called to pastor, or I feel called to lead worship. but I have this great sin issue in my life. Guess what? The first step isn't lead Sunday morning worship. I don't know if you know that. I don't know, it's not like you feel called, like you answer an altar call one day, and the Lord touches you, and you feel called to preach, and the next Sunday, I'm going to have you up here. It just doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't work that way. But what can you do? Well, I feel called to disciple people. Find anybody and begin. Well, how do I know if they're the one? They'll let you. Right? I've only been saved for a year. Find someone who's been saved for 11 months. Or anything less than a year. I feel called to lead worship. All right. Awesome. Do you play guitar? Do you play anything? Do you sing anywhere? Start. Do something. And as you begin to focus on your gift, that well of the Holy Spirit begins to grow in your life. Then all of a sudden, you don't got time for your sin. You're busy focused on other stuff. And I talked a couple weeks ago about what's consuming the young men in our generation. But at some point, you're going to be in front of a computer, and a thought's going to come into your mind, and you're going to be like, I just don't have time for that right now. I don't have time for that right now. I'm focusing on working out this gift. I'm trying to read this. I'm trying to understand the scripture. I'm trying to bless this person. I'm preparing for my discipleship meeting. I'm preparing for this outreach. I don't have time to lose 3 hours staring at that on the internet right now. And it's not even, and then you go and you're like, oh my gosh, wasn't even that big a deal. Why? Because you've made a higher value a priority in your life. You're not living a life looking for pleasure. You hear what I'm saying? You're not living a life looking for pleasure. You're not staring, okay, I'm not going to smoke weed today. 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 No, you're going to start doing something that God called you to do, and you're going to wake up in the morning and think, well, you know, I wake and bake, you know. And then you're like, no, I actually have something to do this morning. Right? I actually have something to do. I don't have time for that right now. Maybe later, but right now I'm not. And then afternoon comes, you're like, well, I've gone all the way to 1 in the afternoon. Maybe I'll just make it a full day. Come on. I mean, come on. Don't sit around and meditate on it. I'm not going to think about the weed. I'm not going to think about the bud. I'm not going to think about the smell. I'm not going to think about being high. I'm not going to think. No, that just sounds stupid, no? Right? Now, I joke about it because, you know, drugs has never been a battle for me. So if that's a battle for you and you feel it's irreverent for me, forgive me. I'm not, not trying to tempt you. I'm not trying to bring it up in church. Come to church, don't think about it. And the pastor talking all about weed, you know. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's not what I'm trying to do. Trigger. Trigger alert. Forgive me. That's not, I'm sorry. I understand the struggle's real. But listen, you staring at it and thinking about it and just stop hanging out with people smoking weed. That's a good start right there. Just find some friends who don't. And don't find your confessor to be the same person struggling with the same thing. You know why you do that? Because they won't judge you. You're like, well, he gets high all the time too. And when I feel like getting high, I'll talk to him. No, that's not a good idea. Your weed man is not the guy you're going to stay accountable to. Right? That's not who you want to be accountable to. That's not it. Right? Find someone who thinks that, like, you want to be accountable to someone who thinks, like, you do what? Wait. I'm sorry. You use drugs? Wait a minute. What? I'm sorry. Explain this to me again. You what? That's who you want to be accountable to, right? Not the person who's like, oh, only 8 hours watching pornography, huh? Whoa, at least it wasn't 9 like me, you know? That is not what you want. That's not it. Right? I really feel like going to the club today. Well, girl, me too. Let's go keep each other accountable. No. 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 Right? That is not what you're looking for. I've lost this, haven't I, honey? I've completely lost this service. I've completely lost it. Okay. Sweet Jesus. Should have had Diane preach again, huh? He wants you to be alive to righteousness. He wants you to be alive to righteousness, right? Our life is supposed to be geared towards releasing righteousness in the earth, right? We get in political arguments, we're not releasing righteousness, right? I like to be a neutral in this election because I'm just going to preach righteousness. I didn't care who's going to be in the White House. I'm calling out their issues. I had a debate with an international prophet the other day online. I called him out. I'm like, you got issues, bro. This is a problem. You are missing the problem with what you're saying right now. Why can I say that? Because I belong to no man. You hear me? Okay, let me say this. Corey, can you come up? And at some point, we're going to do something spiritual. Go ahead. Whatever you want. My wife's praying in tongues. Okay. When I got saved, the Holy Ghost of God anointed me. Right? Jesus Christ baptized me in the Holy Ghost. No man gave it to me. No man can take it away. Amen? I don't belong to any man. I meet national prophets. I'm like, ain't none of y'all pay my bills. I can do whatever I want. I'm free. I'm not looking to get discovered by you. Jesus already discovered me. I'm good. I am good. Amen? I'm good. You're going to be unrighteous? I'll call you out. I'm not trying to sell no books. Hear what I'm saying? I've lifted up one book in my entire life. It's this one right here, the Word of God, right? I got no other book to lift up. I'm not trying to sell you nothing. I'm not trying to gain nothing. I got a church that meets in a middle school, right? I got an easy bill to pay every month. Can I tell you what I'm talking about here? What I'm saying is my life is built upon loving Jesus and proclaiming his righteousness, right? I don't need a political candidate to be successful for me to look good. I don't need, you know, Daddy Apostle to make sure, you know, he's promoting me. I don't need any books. I'm good. I just follow Jesus and love people as well as I can. Loving you as well as I can. I hope this makes sense. I'm trying to love my wife well, trying to love my kids well, trying to love my spiritual sons and daughters well. I'm trying to love my city well. That's it. And if I live my life like that, if I just live to righteousness without any other encumbrances, I get to live free. I get to live free. I'm living a free life. I mean, I'm not worried that, you know, some woman is going to come out and tell you guys what I did. I don't live with that fear. I don't live that, you know, Chris or Corey or Mikey is going to tell you how I treat them behind the scenes. I'm free. I get to live free. It's an amazing life that I don't have two or three lives. I just got this one right here. And I got flaws and I got issues and I'm not worried about you finding out that I got problems in my marriage. I already told you. You act like you don't. I'm the one who's got some inside knowledge. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I'm living free. I can live to righteousness. I'm not trying to deal with my own. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Died on the cross for your sins. And if you're trying to construct some fake life so that religion says you're okay, so that the media says you're okay, that you're waiting for some super apostle to recognize you, or you, one day Bethel Music's going to hear your stuff and they're going to win. Put your hope in Christ. If you're living that way, you're putting your hope in something other than Jesus. And it is not going to be living life to the fullest. If you have lived a life trying to impress your church leadership, I know how disappointed you are right now because it never works long term. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It never works long term. You get Jesus to say we're cool, you're going to live a lot happier life. Amen? Pluck a little bit for me here, Corey. Okay, it is 12 o'clock. You give me 10 minutes and I'm going to say go eat chicken, okay? That's all I'm looking for. Just give me 10 minutes. Fried chicken, is that what you're looking for? I was in a service the other day, and I was in the green room, and they had this little basket of peanuts and raisins. And I was in the service, and I probably shouldn't tell this story. And Corey and I are laying on the ground. I'm like, I wish I'd have eaten those peanuts. I'm getting hungry right now. Be laying there and they were talking in the service, all kind of stuff, and God's gonna whatever. I'm like, raisins, man, there was raisins in that thing. never going to get out of here. I'm so hungry. Pastor Norman did it to me again last night. He did it to me again. Corey didn't even come. We got early in the line to get prayer. I'm like, I'm going to get home early. This is awesome. Benny Johnson prayed for us. I'm like, praise Jesus, I'm getting home early. And he's like, Carl, will you pray for everybody in the room now? I had this planned out. Of course, I'd love to. I'd absolutely love to. It'd be my desire, my delight to do that. All right, here's the point. If you're visiting today, your first-time visitor, normally this is all very scripted with lights and smoke and everything, right? So today is different. Come back next week. It's going to be awesome. Give the lights for me. Whoever's moving the lights. Thank you. That was awesome right there. Look at that. Like, we don't have lighting. All right. All that being said, who wants to live alive, fully alive to God? Fully alive to God. Amen. That life comes from the Spirit. It doesn't come from your flesh. You can't work it up. You can't unsin it up. You can't unsin it up. It can only be when you stay connected to Jesus. Holy Ghost of God will connect you to the plan of God. Hallelujah, here it comes. Ha. Holy Ghost of God will connect you to the heart of the Father. And you will be able to have streams of righteousness coming out of your life. Streams of righteousness coming out of your life. And then all of a sudden you get to find out that you're no longer dealing with what you used to deal with. You're living free in Christ Jesus. Releasing life everywhere you go. And about 24 hours ago, 25 hours ago, we had an amazing service. And in that service, felt like God was going to reignite dreams, prophetic words with angelic visitations. And I'm just going to lean into that right now. So if you are one who can connect to Jesus easily, do that right now, because the Holy Ghost is here. Hallelujah. 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 And I declare in this room right now, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I have authority over this room right here, I command every foul and wicked demon. I bind every foul and wicked spirit, every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of confusion. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of condemnation, I bind you. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I declare the blood of Jesus is against you. And in this atmosphere right now, the Lord is going to begin to speak to you. He's not going to talk about sin. He's not going to talk about judgment. He's going to talk about where you're going. He's going to give visions to some of you about what it's going to look like to release righteousness, to live fully alive. What's it going to look like? Right now, all over this room, the Lord is releasing it by His Spirit right now. You may need to close your eyes. You may need to, I don't know what you need to do to engage God, but you need to do it right now. Sheba, Rabba. Fully alive to God right now. Father, I'm asking you right now, in the mighty name. Fully alive. Fully alive. Fully alive.